I don't know about you guys, but whenever I hear that song, maybe you've never heard it before, Death Was Arrested, when I hear it, I want to shout. Because, man, I tell you, this world has nothing to offer us. And, you know, when death was arrested, that's when our life began. That's when true life begins. And what a great song, and I know that we'll be singing it again, but what a blessing to sing that today. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 is where we're going to be today. So Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 11, this is part 4 in our series on the book of Hebrews. And so we're moving right along here. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to do something kind of fun with you today before we get into it. You may or may not know that statistics tell us that more than one-third of American adults are not getting enough sleep on a regular basis, according to a study that was done recently by the Centers for Disease Control. So I looked it up. According to the American Academy of Sleep Medicine and Sleep Research, they recommend that adults aged 18 to 60 sleep at least 7 hours each night to promote optimal health and well-being. Now, I don't ever get near that in my life. Maybe you do. So they say that sleeping less than 7 hours a day is associated with an increased risk of developing chronic conditions like diabetes or high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, and then frequent mental distress. So fortunately for us, there have been products that have been invented to help us sleep better. For a small nominal fee, of course, okay? So here are six items guaranteed to help you get a good night's sleep. First of all, up is the Bose Sleep Buds. The Bose Sleep Buds, yes? Bose has created a pair of headphones exclusively for sleeping. When I say exclusively, I mean they're made for sleeping only because you cannot play music with them. Instead, the buds play a soothing sound that you can choose from their app to drift off to, preferably in a quiet area because the sleep buds don't feature any sort of noise-canceling feature. And so the retail price for these earbuds are $250, all right? Next up is the Philips Somnio Sleep and Wake Up Light. Philips kind of knows a thing or two about lighting, so it's not terribly surprising to see such a product aimed at sleeping from it. The Somnio Sleep and Wake Up Light has several features that help you drift off to sleep more easily. And so with a combination of light therapy and light-guided breathing exercises and multiple audio options to help you sleep, it's more than just an ordinary lamp. And the retail price for that, in case you wanted to buy it, is $198. All right? Next up is another product from Philips. They're called Hue Bulbs. If you'd rather forego the lamp and just revamp your lights in your entire house or entire room, the Philips Hue Bulbs should be your first choice. The Hue app will allow you to set specific wind-down routines that will gradually begin to dim throughout the evening so you can get ready to have a good night's sleep. If you want to buy 4 of those bulbs, it'll cost you $200. Next up is the Bluetooth eye mask. So if you would like to block as much of the world out as you can when you're sleeping and you're short on a sensory deprivation tank, this mask will help you. And simple and straightforward, the eye mask comes with Bluetooth speakers to provide a stereo sound while you doze off. It also comes with a microphone so that you can take phone calls, which seems a bit counterproductive. Retail price, I was kind of surprised, only $25 for those. Next up is the Adaptive Sound Technologies Electrofan White Noise Machine. That's a mouthful. So usually a white noise machine, maybe some of you know what those are, that would be the top of a lot of lists because they've been around for a long time. And not much has changed in the way of tiny boxes, but that doesn't get past the fact that they're very effective. The Adaptive Sound Technologies Electrofan is a white noise machine that offers 10 different fan sounds along with 10 other white noises with an almost 5-star rating with a bunch of reviews. It's definitely a solid choice for a sleep product if you go this route. Retail price $50. Or you can go on YouTube and they have the same thing on there. And then last is the Pillow Classic Ergonomic Smart Music Pillow. Looks very comfortable, doesn't it? Sometimes having trouble sleeping is a comfort issue. So the right pillow can be a major contributor in helping us sleep, which is why this strange existing pillow exists. It may seem a bit oddball, but it's an interesting little pillow that has two binaural speakers inside it that allow you to listen to nature-inspired music from their app. The unique contour design contains 52 multifaceted cuts and claims that this provides an orthopedic and anti-snore effect. So JT, that'd be a great pillow for you, brother. So at least it should be very comfortable given that it's made of memory foam with bamboo and charcoal and cotton. And there's even a pillow, mini pillow, if you're looking for a small old pillow. Retail price, $200. So if you're adding up all that money for $923, you can have a guaranteed good night's sleep. I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to pass on the $923. I'm going to keep that and try something else myself. But, you know, we do that as a way to kind of set the stage for the sermon this morning. And it's kind of a fun thing to look at. Our passage this morning speaks about rest. And in the 11 verses that we're going to read this morning, it talks about rest. And so let's take a look and see what the benefits of resting in the Lord are. It's a different type of rest. We're not talking about sleeping per se, but yet resting in the Lord. And so let's take a look and see what it says. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, while the promise to enter his rest remains, let us fear that none of you should miss it. For we also have received the good news as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard in faith. For we who have believed enter the rest in keeping with what he has said. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the foundation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this way. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Again, in that passage, he says, they will never enter my rest. Since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience, again, he specifies a certain day, today, speaking through David after such a long time, as previously stated, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath day remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest, so that none will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. Now, of course, he's talking about the children of Israel going into the promised land. That's kind of the background there. That's what he's talking about. So there's two things that I want to bring out from this passage this morning. Okay, first of all, we're going to talk about missing out on a future rest. And then we're going to talk about missing out on our present rest. Okay, so first of all, let's take a look. The first eight verses talking about missing out on future rest. Now, we need to understand something. Our human nature causes us to do things that are in direct contrast to our spiritual nature. They're all the time butting heads, if you will. They're at constant fighting against each other. And so whenever we give in to our human nature, what happens? We tend to not listen or ignore God, and we ignore his word. So when we focus on self and we listen to self, many times we ignore what God's word says. And so whenever we fail to listen to God, what happens? We miss out on his blessings. That's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. They missed out on the promised land because they did not listen to God. They did not believe. The Israelites in the desert, they all heard the same word from God. They all heard the same word from God. The writer here of Hebrews uses the word good news, or gospel, maybe your translation said. It literally means a message communicated in love. So God gave a message in love to the Israelites. The Israelites received God's loving message about their deliverance from Egypt, but only some of them believed it. Not all of them, only some of them believed it. And it was of no benefit to them, because, and it had no value, the writer says, because they didn't act upon it. They didn't put feet to their faith, if you will. They didn't act upon their faith. And because they didn't act upon it, the writer says, and we know the Bible tells us, they missed out on the promised land. They did not get to enter into their rest, if you will. And guys, here's the thing. When we trust, when we fail to trust Christ, and this is something that we all know, when we fail to trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we don't act upon His Word, we're going to miss out on our rest. For us, that's heaven, okay? One day, heaven will come. And if we don't trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're going to miss out on that future rest that is our promise, that has been promised to us through Jesus Christ. Not only that, we miss out on the blessing and security and protection that we are, that we receive as God's people. We miss out on the blessing of the forgiveness of sin. We miss out on the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, as I just said, we miss out on heaven, the blessing of heaven. God, and the writer of Hebrews mentions it here, God barred the rebellious Israelites from entering the promised land. And we know that only Caleb and Joshua were allowed to enter from that original generation. So there's a whole generation that did not get to enter because they rebelled against God. However, the next generation of Israelites did go into the promised land. And in our setting today, we understand today, we know some refuse to listen to God. They don't put their faith and trust in Jesus. And because of that, the promise is they will be barred from heaven. Ultimately, when they die, there will be no more hope for them because they chose unbelief. When they die, there'll be no more chances. When they die, there'll be no more opportunities. But those who listen and trust Christ and to listen to God and trust in His Son, they will find salvation. They will receive forgiveness of sins. They will have a home in heaven. That's the rest that the writer's talking about there. This is why, guys, the gospel is good news. That's why it is a message communicated in love. It's good news. This is why people need to hear the good news. This is why we have to share the good news, like Jasmine did this past week. You know, the kingdom work is hard. It's not easy to be a witness at work and at school and in our neighborhoods. Kingdom work is hard. And there are lots of reasons, guys, why we don't share the gospel. I want to just mention a few this morning. One of the reasons we don't share the gospel is because we have a lack of knowledge. How many times have you heard the gospel in a sermon, or you've seen it in a book, or you've heard it in a conversation? You've been a Christian, you know, for a long time, and you've likely heard the gospel hundreds of times in your life. And even when you weren't a Christian, you probably had heard the gospel. But you know, there are many of us that still struggle to articulate the gospel in a simple, coherent, intelligible way. So I want you to think about something. Could you right now share the essential message of the gospel in 60 seconds to someone? If God gave you 60 seconds, could you share the gospel in a very way that somebody could understand that? Sometimes that's all we have. And so we have to be ready. So it's a lack of knowledge. Another reason we fail to share the gospel is fear. Fear. We've all been there. You know, what will others think of me? Some are paralyzed by the thought of being disliked or marginalized or being laughed at. And they were afraid that they're going to be pumped in or linked in with some other fanatical religious group, you know, like the Westboro Baptist Church or somebody like that. And we don't want to be linked into groups like that. We shouldn't want to, because those guys are a bunch of knuckleheads. But, you know, we're fearful that people will think something badly about us. And so that's a reason we don't share the gospel. Another reason I think it boils down to, and we have to be very honest, and we may not want to admit it, is that we have a lack of compassion for people. We've long forgotten what it was like to live without hope and to be apart from Christ. And so we don't consider those who don't obey Christ will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. That's what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And so sometimes we don't really care. We might say we care, but we really cry out to God for the salvation of our lost neighbors or our co-workers or our classmates. We don't pray for people. We don't ask God for opportunities. And guys, let me just say this. Evangelism is one measure of our spiritual maturity. It's one measure of our spiritual maturity. We've been commanded to preach the gospel. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. To the whole creation. We don't need any other reason but that. That's a commandment from Jesus. And for those who need to respond to the gospel, in our passage this morning, verses 6 through 8, they emphasize today. Today's the day. Today is the best time, the most important time for us to respond to the gospel. Because Jesus will return one day. Jesus will take us home one day. And before Jesus returns and before our life reaches its last day, God is calling you to come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So why not choose today? Why not commit your life to Him today if you don't know Him? So that's the first part. That's talking about our future rest. But then the last part of the scripture that we read, verses 9 through 11, talks about missing out on our present rest. Our present rest. Now, back up just a little bit to verse 4. Verse 4 talks about the Sabbath. And the first time we see the Sabbath instituted was at creation. Remember? I know that class downstairs, the adult class is going through the book of Genesis together. And in Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 2, it says, by the seventh day, God completed His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So that is the first time we see this Sabbath, this resting. So, God created the world in 6 literal days, and He rests on the seventh day. This doesn't mean He was tired. This doesn't mean He needed to take a nap, because God is all-powerful, okay? It simply indicates that He was done with His creation. The world was perfect, He was satisfied, and so He rested from His work. It means the work stopped, because it was complete. It doesn't mean He became idle. It doesn't mean that He just cast it in there and said, okay, I'm going to step back and just let it go now. No, God is still involved in His creation. It doesn't mean that He became idle, because God is still at work. He simply had completed His work, and the work ended. It rested. It stopped. So, that's the first time we see the Sabbath instituted. Now, through Moses, God commanded His people to do the same. Over in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 through 11, the Ten Commandments. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, and on the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord God, to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. It was set apart. Now I can imagine, just like then, like we are now, they didn't want to give up the opportunity to make money. But God said, take a day and focus on Me. Because the Sabbath reminded them that God was in control and that ultimately He was their provider. And so the Sabbath gave them an opportunity to honor Him. And that's why they were supposed to do it. So that's the first time we see the Sabbath instituted. The second time, the second purpose of the Sabbath is found over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Verse 12 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God had commanded you. And then verse 15, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And so on that day, the Israelites were to remember and to think about how good God was and how much He had done for them. So He saved them for Himself. The Sabbath day was a day for them to reflect upon their salvation. because they had been set free from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And so they were to set apart that day to remember and reflect upon their salvation. But there's a third purpose for the Sabbath. And let's look back at our passage again. Look at verse 9 again in Hebrews chapter 4. There's a third purpose for the Sabbath, and this is kind of what I want to get into. Look at verse 9. It says, therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. A Sabbath rest remains for God's people. He's been talking about in the past, the past, the past. Now he said, there remains even now a Sabbath for God's people. Now, what is the writer of Hebrews been trying to convey to his readers this whole letter? Okay, think about it. Things we've already talked about. That Jesus is better, right? Jesus is greater. He's better than Moses. He's better than the law. He's our high priest. He's our apostle. He's the ultimate authority. He's better than the angels. He's the exact representation of God. He's eternal. So the writer is telling his Jewish audience, Jesus is better than the law. He's better than Moses. He's better than all these festivals that you want to put your faith in. Don't listen to the Judaizers. They want you to trust Christ and the law. He said, Jesus is better than all these things. And so he's the ultimate, he's the greatest ever. And so in the context of this letter, I think it's safe for us to assume that the rest that remains for God's people is in Jesus. Amen? That is the rest that remains for us now. Our rest, our hope, our salvation, all these promises exist because of Jesus and who Jesus is, because he's the greatest ever. And so the Sabbath now points to Jesus. Now, if we really wanted to follow the Sabbath, we would have church on Saturday, right? But now we meet on Sunday. How they started doing it in the New Testament. The first day of the week was the Lord's Day. But now the Sabbath for us, it points us to Jesus. And guys, here's the thing. Because of Jesus, we can rest from our works, because according to what Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say, we aren't saved by our works anymore. We're not saved by what we do. We never were, but I'm just saying we're not saved by our works. We are saved by grace through faith. And so not that we shouldn't work for Christ, but we don't have to worry about our works being enough to save us. So guess what? We can rest in Jesus. We can rest in Jesus. Christ is our provider. I like what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. He said, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not even spare his son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? And so we can rest today because Jesus bears the weight of responsibility to meet our needs. Amen? He meets our every need, both spiritual and physical. Both spiritual and physical. You know, guys, one of the biggest reasons we have a lot of stressed out people today. You know, and I think it's getting a lot worse. When I drive, most of us drive in here, man, it just seems like people are so angry. I mean, I'm sitting at the light, and it barely turns green. I mean, just a nanosecond, people are already honking at me to go. I can't react that fast. I'm sorry, I'm not one of those guys that drives the drag racers. I mean, they look at the lights, I mean, they take right off. I don't react that fast. People are angry, stressed out, frustrated. And one of the biggest reasons we're stressed and frustrated because we carry the weight of the world upon ourselves. And this is a weight that God never intended for us to carry. He never intended for us to carry that weight. Christ can be our Sabbath, our rest today, if we will allow Him to. But we have to allow Him to. Guys, this is why we set aside a day. For us, it's Sunday. This is why we set aside a day to acknowledge Christ is all these things to us. Guess what? Tomorrow is Monday. Monday is not the most popular day of the week for any of us, because it means going back to work, going back to school, going back to our lives. That's why we need to meet on Sunday. Because we need strength. We need encouragement. We need people to lift us up so that we can get through this week. And then an added bonus is getting together for community group on Wednesday to help get us through. We need that encouragement. We need that strength. We need the upliftment from brothers and sisters in Christ. Because guess what? Monday is coming and it's going to be stressful. That's why we need this time together. That's why our time together is valuable. Because Jesus is our rest. And He wants us to rest in Him. This is why we need to be committed to our fellowship here at Bogey Hills Baptist Church. We don't want to miss out on God's rest today. That rest is found in Jesus. Let's not miss the rest that Jesus offers. You know, we can miss it just like the Israelites did. How sad for them to be on the verge of taking the promised land and they missed out a whole generation of people. Why did they miss out? Because they chose not to believe. And unbelief always causes us to miss out on God's blessings. We can miss out just like the Israelites did. Look at verse 1 again. Chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise to enter His rest remains, let us fear that none of you should miss it. The writer of Hebrews is saying, guys, while time remains, don't miss out. Don't miss out on God's blessings. There's still time. There's still time to receive it. Don't miss out on it. Look at verse 11. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that none will fail in the same pattern of disobedience. Israel failed. Sadly, they failed because they would not believe. And so the question is for us, will we fail? Will we allow our unbelief to cause us to miss out on the rest that Christ can give us now and in the future in heaven? Because that's our future. That's the promise. As stressful as life is for you right now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me just let you in on a little secret, and I've said it before, it only gets better from here. Right? Because one day in heaven, not going to be any sin. The Bible says that nothing profane will enter into heaven. Nothing that is vile. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who are followers of Christ will enter that rest. And in that rest, there will be no more darkness. The Bible says the radiance of the sun will illuminate all of heaven. There's no more darkness. There's no more sadness. No more death. No more illness. Nothing. No handicapped parking spaces or prescriptions or rehabilitation centers. I won't have to take Metoprolol anymore for my AFib in heaven because I'll be perfect. And you will too. And while the time is still here, let's not miss out. Christ offers you rest. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your identity. He wants to be your provider. Verse 7 says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. You know what it means to harden your heart? We talked about it last week. It means we set ourselves up against God. We say, God, You're here and I'm here and I'm going to set myself up against You. I'm going to be stubborn and I'm going to choose my own way. I'm going to do what I want to do in life. And I don't want all this other stuff. And our heart becomes hard. And pretty soon God says, fine, you made your choice. Go live in the life that you've chosen. But I want you to understand something. That life that we choose, it only gets worse from here. It's what we used to tell our teenagers when I was in youth ministry down in Texas. kids are no different than adults. Some are committed and some aren't. And I would have kids that would come, and some of them would be even hung over from the night before, and their parents made them come to church. And they're laying around red-eyed, bleary-eyed, and say, how do your parents not even know what's going on in your life, first of all? And second of all, why aren't you even here? Well, my mom made me come. Okay. What'd you do last night? Well, they'd tell me. How was it? I don't feel very good today. Yeah, I can see that. I said, why are you playing games? Why not go choose this other life? If this is the life you want to choose, if you want to choose this life, then pursue that with all your heart. Don't play a game. Don't ride the fence. What did Jesus say he would do to people who are lukewarm? Spit you out of my mouth. You make me sick. Don't play a game. But I told these guys, you're going to find out that pretty soon all this fun stuff is going to fade away. There's going to be nothing left for you. You're going to miss out on the blessings of God. That's what it means to harden our heart. I'm going to choose my way instead of choosing God's way. That's why the writer said, today if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. If you're hearing the voice of God today in your life, don't harden your heart. Will you enter His rest today? I hope that you will. Father, we thank You today for the passage. We thank You for the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and the other verses. Father, we understand that You have offered us rest. Rest in the future, rest now. And it's there for us. It's there for the taking. Father, so many times we don't take it because we are stubborn. We're unfaithful, just like the Israelites were. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss out on the rest that You offer us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that we would not miss out today, but that You would work in our hearts. Father, thank You for the rest that You offer us through Your Son. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together.